Hello, I'm Manila Chan. You are tuned into Modus Operandi. So he has no political pedigree. He's the child of immigrants to the UK. He's dubbed a political scion as the youngest prime minister in modern British history. But is Rishi Sunak's rise to power as storied as they say? This week, we'll take a look at the first person of color to hold the prime ministership in the UK. All right, let's get into the MO. In the fall of 2022, the UK was reeling from the death of their beloved Queen Elizabeth, and skyrocketing inflation met with tumult in the market as Tory PM Liz Truss implemented a disastrous financial plan for Britain. She resigned from her post just 6 weeks after replacing Boris Johnson as Prime Minister. So, who's in 10 Downing Street now? None other than the man who lost to Liz Truss. Rishi Sunak. Now, the child of immigrants of Indian heritage is heralded by the media as sort of this immigrant rags-to-riches fairy tale, an image concocted by a team of PR people to downplay his immense wealth and privilege as a child of a successful doctor father and a mother who was not only a pharmacist, but she owned the pharmacy chain. Well-heeled indeed, Sunak grew up to attend private schools, elite universities such as Oxford and Stanford in California, where he met his heiress wife. He then went on to have a successful career at Goldman Sachs before trying his hand at politics in just 2015, a first-time MP in 2015 to take the seat as PM in 2022.
Thank you so much.
But Sunak's story is less of a rise to the top, rather more of a tale of last man standing, or worse, slim pickings. To shed more light on this, we'll turn to former Scottish MP. He's now the chairman of the Hope Over Fear grassroots independence campaign in Scotland. Mr. Tommy Sheridan is joining us now. So first, Tommy, thank you for being with us. Rishi Sunak's ascension to PM is lauded as a win for diversity or even colonialism coming full circle with him, you know, being the first person of color to hold this position. The press heralded his storied rise. He himself fancies this blanket child of immigrant story, but that's not the whole picture, is it? Can you fill us in a bit on Mr. Sunak's background or his origin story?
It's important that everyone understands that Rishi Sunak doesn't represent the average immigrant to the UK. He isn't a success story for the experience of immigration to the UK. Rishi Sunak is a man born into privilege and living in privilege. This is a man who attended a boarding school as a youngster, a boarding school that costs almost £50,000 a year to attend. Now, the overwhelming majority of families across the UK don't earn anywhere near £50,000, but that's what this man was able to have his dad pay to have him educated at Winchester Boarding School, a private school near to where he was born in Southampton in the south coast of England. The man was born into privilege and the man represents privilege. He is no average immigrant story. Average immigrants suffer from discrimination, suffer from low income, suffer from poor housing. This is a man who has never known any of those problems. And if any of the viewers wish to consult a video from 2007, they will see the young, fresh, bushy-tailed Rishi Sunak tell everyone in a BBC documentary that he had many friends that were upper class and aristocracy. And then he says, and some working class, and laughs and says, well, not working class. But then goes on to tell everyone that he goes to state schools to lecture people about how they too could go to Oxford and Cambridge just like him, even though He went there from a private boarding school costing almost £50,000 a year. The man is privilege personified. This is not a story of an average immigrant to the UK working his way to the top. This is a man who's born into privilege and now represents that privilege. And unfortunately, he is governing on behalf of the privileged in society.
Critics compare his victory to that of Barack Obama here in the States and say his prime ministership will do as much for race relations, immigration, the class struggle, as much as Obama's presidency did for solving racism in America. Your thoughts on that?
Well, anyone who suggests that the election of Rishi Sunak in the UK will do as much for race relations as the election of Barack Obama did in America, they really have to ask themselves, are they asking the right question? Because truthfully, do we really think that the election of Barack Obama has done anything to solve racial tensions and discrimination and racism within the United States of America? I don't think so. I think there is clear evidence that racism has got worse, not better. And when you consider the disappointment that Barack Obama represented for many, many of his supporters, many people thought that he was going to govern on behalf of the majority, not the corporate minority. And sadly, they were let down because Barack Obama, he said he was going to introduce Medicare. That was one of his big platforms, universal health care for every American citizen, the richest country in the world, and they can't afford to give universal health care. It is absolutely unforgivable. Barack Obama also presided over the largest number of bombings of Muslim countries in the planet. This man, who was ostensibly a man of peace, actually is guilty of dropping more bombs than even Bomber Bush before him. So Barack Obama was a disappointment in terms of the aspirations of many Black Americans and those who believed in peace across the planet. And Rishi Sunak will do absolutely nothing to improve diversity and race relations in the UK because the man stands for the establishment. He stands for the status quo. He stands for changing absolutely nothing as far as discrimination, racism, poverty, and inequality is concerned. All of those indicators within the UK have got worse in the last 12 years of Tory government, and they will continue to get worse as Rishi Sunak governs for the rich and the privileged. You know, the Tory party in the UK has been described accurately as the hyena party, because if you study hyenas, the mammals, the hyena mammal, you will see that they prey on the sick, on the vulnerable, on the old. That's what hyenas do. And that's what the Tory party does. That's what it signifies in society, a party that preys on the weak, the vulnerable, the old. Rishi Sunak represents that party, and he will do nothing to improve society for those of colour or the poor.
Did Rishi Sunak's eventual win of the PM's chair come as a last resort? And by that, I'm referring to the runoff between he and Liz Truss after Boris Johnson stepped down. Liz Truss defeated Sunak, only to step down a few weeks later. Did Sunak win only because, and I'm going to put it bluntly, there were no other horses left in the stable?
The victory of Rishi Sunak, into some context for viewers. We have the UK, Britain, with a history that involves an understanding that at one time Two-thirds of the world were under the yoke of British imperialism. Britain was the dominant power on the planet. Now, it's important that that context is borne in mind. When you then look at the election in 2019 of Boris Johnson to become the Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson is a buffoon of the highest order. Boris Johnson is a pathological liar whose lies have been well documented all across the British press for many, many years. A man who lost several jobs as a columnist and in other spheres for telling lies. A man who had to resign because of the lies he told the British public about everyone else keeping COVID rules and regulations apart from him. A man who was telling ordinary families that they couldn't visit sick relatives in hospital and care homes. A man who told families that they couldn't attend funerals for loved ones while he was partying behind number 10 and continuing as if life was just as joyous as it always has been for that bumbling buffoon. He represented, in my opinion, that absolute decrepit decay of Britain, the imperialist nation. It summed up just how low Britain had sunk in the world, that we were represented by somebody like Boris Johnson. And everyone thought, this is the worst that can get. It can't get any worse than this. And then Liz Truss came along. And everyone thought, no way, we've broken records. We've went from Boris the buffoon to Liz, the absolute loony who doesn't have a clue what's going on, whether it's New Year or New York. A woman who was completely and utterly out of her depth and became the shortest serving British Prime Minister in history. You have that as the context for Rishi Sunak. Rishi Sunak wasn't elected by the British people to become PM, and he was rejected even by that tiny minority that the Tory party membership represents. He was rejected by them in favour of Liz Truss. Imagine losing a contest to Liz Truss. And yet that's what Rishi Sunak did. He was eventually allowed to take the reins because, and I think the expression you've used about there being no more horses in the stable is quite a good one. It certainly is the truth that the Tory party as an institution is decaying by the day, and Rishi Sunak being in place will not address the absolute destruction of that party as a viable alternative at the next election. I don't particularly rate Keir Starmer. I think Keir Starmer is a Tory in disguise, but he will win by default, not because of anything that Keir Starmer's done, but because people cannot stomach any more of the Tories after 12 years of economic ruination and corruption, which has been amongst the worst in British political history.
All right, Tommy Sheridan, don't go anywhere. There's still so much more to unpack here. Coming up next, we'll examine why Rishi Sunak's policies from domestic issues like pay inequality to NATO, Ukraine, is really just more of the same. We'll discuss it when we return. Sit tight, the MO. We'll be right back.
Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly, all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Русофобия оказалась выгодным бизнесом.
Они Украину предали, ограбили и отдали на растерзание американцам. Украину, мою родину.
Эти люди готовились достаточно открыто, финансирование проводилось достаточно широко, и мы знаем всех акторов, кто это финансирование получал.
8 лет двигались ровно в этом направлении, чтобы вот расчеловечить русских и разорвать все связи.
Это результат серьезной работы над историческим сознанием.
Преступление против человечества задокументированных на украинских территориях очень много. И большая часть из них совершена при попустительстве или по прямому приказу нынешнего или прошлого киевского руководства.
Уже они давно вышли из легального поля, давно, значит, действуют другими методами, неконституционными.
Это и есть преступление по нацистскому образцу.
Welcome back to the MO. I'm Manila Jan. So, the old saying goes, new boss, same as the old boss. Will this be applicable to Rishi Sunak? Tommy Sheridan is rejoining us. Thank you for sticking around, Tommy. So, 2022 proved to be a pretty wild year for the UK. A revolving door at 10 Downing Street, the death of the Queen, energy prices skyrocketing, inflation exploding, yet with each successive PM who steps in, the more financial commitment made to aiding the Kiev regime in this proxy NATO war. Rishi Sunak was believed to be a fiscal conservative and was expected to implement more practical financial policies. Yet he's doubling down on the very financial commitments that his predecessor, Boris Johnson, made to Ukraine. Now, the type of monetary promises that led Mr. Sunak to resign as Johnson's exchequer. How do you square his priorities?
Sunak and the British establishment as a whole are determined to maintain their support for the NATO proxy war in Ukraine. And number one, of course, is to provide cover for all of the problems that the British population face. You see, the UK is in the grip of the worst inflation for almost 50 years. The UK has a standard of living crisis. That means the standard of living is expected to fall by a full 7% over the next 12 months. We have food prices at their highest ever in terms of advanced prices. We have energy prices that are unaffordable. We have workers being forced to take part in strike actions. Hundreds of thousands, millions of workers are going to be forced to take strike action. They've already voted for it in the post industry, in the teaching, in health, in transport. All across the UK, workers are getting forced to fight back. But what is the response of the government? Oh, it's nothing to do with us. It's not our fault, Gov. It's the war in Ukraine. It's the pesky Russians. Blame the Russians. So it's very convenient for the British establishment to continue this coverage and support for the proxy war in Ukraine, because it gives them a boogeyman. It gives them somebody to blame for the problems. And the second reason, of course, they maintain the support is because British aerospace and all of the other big armaments companies are making a packet making a packet out of this war, just as they have done in relation to the horrible, horrible five-year conflict in Yemen, which has destroyed that country, has introduced the biggest humanitarian disaster on the planet just now. Armaments which have been supplied to Saudi Arabia, several billion pounds worth of armaments been supplied in order for that particular conflict to be executed is disgraceful. And Britain and America are behind that as well.
Is Rishi Sunak's youth here a boon for the UK, you know, having a young pair of eyes at 10 Downing Street? Or will his age prove to be a liability, especially on the global stage? Because by contrast, US President Joe Biden is approximately twice his age.
It's quite clear to most independent observers of politics across the world that by the time you've reached into your 80s and you've been around the political circuit for as long as Joe Biden has, it's time to hang up the political tie. Joe Biden, in my opinion, is, if he is the answer to America's problems, then they are asking the wrong questions to begin with, because the man does not represent the future of America. He doesn't speak up for ordinary people across America. This is a man who was going out his way to undermine the positive progressive policies of the likes of Bernie Sanders. When Bernie Sanders was talking about universal Medicare for all, when Bernie Sanders was talking about cancellation of student tuition fees to lift so many millions out of the poverty they're now in because they're trying to pay off student tuition fees, when Bernie Sanders was talking about a minimum wage of $15 an hour to try and tackle wage poverty, Joe Biden's attacked every one of those policies. He has refused to embrace any of those policies. Joe Biden has continued to govern more or less in the same vein as Donald Trump did and as George Bush did before him. In other words, nothing is changing as far as US society is concerned. The rich are becoming even more obscenely rich, whereas the pool of the poor is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's why problems in America are growing, in my opinion. The divisions in America are growing. And it's a country that is very much at war with itself. I think the age of Joe Biden doesn't help that. But more important than his age is what he stands for. This is a man who was behind the illegal invasion of Iraq. This is a man who's been behind supporting tax breaks for the multinational corporations in America, but not supporting a living minimum wage for ordinary workers in America. So it's not Joe Biden's age that's the biggest problem. It's what he stands for that's the biggest problem. And that's the same in the UK with Rishi Sunak.
Circling back to Sunak's Indian heritage, Sunak is thereby Asian. Will his ethnicity be reflected in his foreign policy towards the global South? Or will his financial status cloud his decision-making abilities, especially since he's now been quoted as calling China and Russia the enemy of the UK?
Yes, that the election of Rishi Sunak will change Britain's colonialist, imperialist, chauvinistic attitude to Asia and China are deluded. This man has recently talked about the end of the era of cordial relations with China. This man has done his duty and been obedient to his bosses in America, who have been trying to whip up anti-Russian feeling, anti-China feeling, anti-Iran feeling for many, many years now, because they want to shape the world the way they see it, which is all about free market capitalism and the success and promotion of big business at all costs. That's the most important thing in the world. And what will happen under Rishi Sunak is Britain will continue to be a colonial ruler and chauvinistic country as far as Asia, as far as India, as far as Pakistan is concerned. You know, people ought to just pause for a moment and try and think about what a lot of women said in 1979 when Mrs. Thatcher was elected in the UK. A lot of women thought, oh, great, it's the first woman prime minister in the UK. This is great for women's rights. This is great for the advancement of women. It was an absolute disaster for women. Why? Because she introduced policies that were about economic division. She lowered the wages of ordinary people. She attacked the sectors that most women worked in, the caring sectors. What did it mean? It meant that more and more women were driven into poverty and despair, despite the fact that she was a woman prime minister. And that is the same story that has to be applied to Rishi Sunak. He is a man of colour. He is a man who has a heritage via his parents and grandparents in India and Pakistan. But you have a situation where he represents nothing more and nothing less than the chauvinistic British colonialism that Britain has always embodied.
All right, unfortunately, I have to leave that right there. Tommy Sheridan, thank you so much for this conversation. And that is going to do it for this week's episode of Modus Operandi, the show that digs deep into foreign policy. I'm your host, Manila Chan. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again next week to figure out the MO.